Is there a reason you're doing this right now, Councilman?
I'll say it coincides well with the opening of the skate park, but that wasn't what prompted it.
Okay.
Something I've been working on actually for a few months, and really just doing a lot of research about vibrant communities and active transportation, and that's, without going into any merits, that's really what prompted all of this.
So this is Charles Bear, City Councilman Charles Bear, District 2, asking City Councilman Casey Jones, District 3, I think that's right. Anyway, I'm sorry if I got it wrong. I believe that's right, though. About why he's proposing to repeal the downtown ban on skateboarding in Pensacola, something which will be on the City Council agenda tonight. Or I should say, I actually just got a note in from Don Crerar, the City Council executive, who says that Casey's going to be pulling that item tonight. So he's going to come up with a slightly different approach. So apparently that's not quite what we're going to talk about tonight. But I did want to get some perspective from the police because, you know, we have Mike Wood, who is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, joining us as he always does on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So apparently a little bit of this is going to change for tonight at City Council, but that's okay. It's still worth talking about. Not very much enforcement of this, or is it? You tell me. PPD, I know you do whatever the council says, but it was skateboarding downtown a problem before, and how much enforcement have you had to do with this since the 3 years it was put into place?
It wasn't a huge problem when officers saw violations. You know, they're on a sidewalk when it's too crowded, or maybe skateboarding in traffic. They would most of the time warn skateboarders. So they would warn them, and I think maybe some written warnings were issued. I'm not aware of any citations, but it wasn't a huge problem for us. We would answer complaints mostly on private property, where the property owner didn't want the skateboarders on private property. We did more of that than we did on sidewalks and roadways.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. And the way I've kind of described it is, I can see why we don't want skateboarders going down Palafox. There's just too much going on Palafox a lot of the time for that to be safe, for the same reason that we don't want people on scooters on the sidewalks on Palafox, and we don't want skateboarders on the streets either, because that's not safe for them. Generally speaking, we'd prefer them to just, you know, pick it up and walk for a little ways. But as far as having a law in place, that seems like a bit much. But like I said, we'll kind of see what Casey Jones wants to do now that he seems to be interested in pulling that item from tonight's agenda. One of the other things, we didn't start with this, but I should start at least in this place. Anything incidents-wise, and I know we don't like the Q word, and I know we don't, but it's uneventful for pretty much 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it has been. So let's see if we can keep that going. You know, sooner or later, I'm going to be on here with a lot to tell you about. But yeah, it's been another uneventful couple of weeks.
Hey, we'll take it. That's good news. One of the other pieces of news that came out of the City Council agenda meeting on Monday, Amy Lavoie telling us that we've got a new piece of equipment coming.
PPD, they requested a tactical vehicle that you recall that would our SWAT team would. It's our SWAT team vehicle that was ordered. So that has been on order and we're awaiting delivery of that.
Now, why on earth would you need to upgrade such a fine piece of modern equipment as the plumber's van third hand that SWAT has been operating out of for like 2 decades?
Well, the best reason I can think of is because our SWAT team members are not plumbers. You got to understand, when SWAT is called out, that is the very worst of the worst situations that officers can be in. That's why they're specially trained. That's why they have special weapons, and they need that vehicle to be able to go closer to the situation and have protection. We've had to borrow, and thank goodness for the Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Chip Simmons for letting us borrow their resources when we need them. They get them to us quickly, but having our own is certainly going to help, and it's long overdue, and we're very glad that this is finally being addressed.
And I think also, if I remember correctly, Amy was saying, she's the CFO for the city, saying that you're also getting the better fencing around the Haines Street offices and, you know, a couple of other kind of security-related measures, which are all just sort of, well, duh, right? These are important things.
Well, again, there's a need there. We've had numerous people caught in the back of the parking lot there trying to get into vehicles in their impound lot. We had one of our cruisers set on fire. So it's a need that we've needed this for a long time, and we're glad to see it coming.
Very good. One of the other things that's up for the conversation tonight is going to be on the graffiti bridge warning system. And We have lots of conversations about this. It's in one way, it's very much an iconic event here in Pensacola when the trucks hit the bridge. And, you know, we all love Graffiti Bridge, and some of us love being aghast at the trucks hitting it. But from a public safety and man hours perspective, this really isn't a laughing matter, right?
No, it's not. It does take a lot of man hours to do this. And hopefully, you know, something's getting done. We've been wanting something done for years, and there's been issues with one side being the city and the other side being the state. And, you know, it comes a good time to thank the mayor, D.C. Reeves, for that, you know, the equipment and the improvements around the station. There's a lot of positive things going on that he's responsible for, and we're glad to see that happen.
Yeah, and no, I am very optimistic. I think anything that reduces the number of bridge strikes is a good thing. And, you know, as the mayor told us yesterday, it's not going to look quite like that picture. He should have known better than to put the picture out quite like that. But it should not be quite that ghastly looking. And if it has some effect, even if it cuts it down in half, you know, that's still a good thing, both for manpower, for, you know, traffic flow, manpower for you guys, and also for those people who suffer the hits. We always like to end on a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for us this week, Mike?
Yeah, I do. And who do you think, driver-wise, age-wise, gets the most traffic tickets?
Oh, well, I would assume that it's young males, that it's, you know, 16 to 25-year-old men.
Is it me?
What?
That's a very specific demographic.
Andy, there's always hope. Yeah. So, look, while you may assume that the younger drivers are more likely to receive traffic tickets, it's actually not the case. According to data, and this is not Pensacola Police Department data, this is nationwide, it's really experienced drivers who need to brush up on the rules. Studies are showing that individuals who are between the ages of 50 and 64 are most likely to have received a speeding ticket in the past 5 years. In addition to that, 70% of drivers in this age group say they have received at least one speeding ticket in their lifetime. Now, drivers in the 30 to 49-year-old range are the most ticketed. So, you know, and then it goes on to say that the millennials, who are now ages, I don't know, 27 to 42, 43, are the most dangerous drivers, while baby boomers, 60 to 77, were found to be the safest.
Well, that seems a little self-serving.
Well, you can't argue with the data.
Yeah, and way to attack Candy and me. I mean, me at 52 and her at 29. I mean, way to under the bus there about that. So, no, makes sense to me, though, because I can see how drivers at let's say, an age near mine are likely to say the following to themselves. I'm capable. I'm able. I know what's a safe speed for me to drive. Besides, the officer's not going to give me a ticket. I'm a responsible member of society. I think that's what happens in their minds. Okay. And then, oh, dang it. Look at that.
Okay, well, while we're dealing with that mindset, then, we've got heavy rain coming in. Please do not drive through the 17th Avenue trestle when it gets flooded here in a few minutes.
Absolutely.
Don't think that you can do that and get away with it.
That's exactly right. Don't drive through the water. It can be bad for you, bad for your car. And, I mean, depending on how serious the water is, you can die from it as well. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for PPD. As always, Mike, thanks for the time. Thanks for the reminder about underneath 17th Avenue at the trestle. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.